Hello there, faithful listener. You've tuned in to Season 7 of the Bible Explained podcast. So make sure to grab your cup of coffee, because today we are going to be discussing the book of 1 Samuel. Well, hello and good morning, friends and faithful listeners, and welcome to the Bible Explained podcast. And guess what? This is my first ever episode, for those of you who are just listening, that I am also airing on YouTube as a video. So I am recording myself, for those of you who can't see, I'm recording myself and airing the entire thing on YouTube as well. And I decided I'd do this every once in a while just to do something new with the podcast. I don't think I'll be doing this every single day because it's a lot of work for me to edit videos, but I decided every once in a while I will record myself doing the podcast episode and throw that up on YouTube. So today we're going to be talking about 1 Samuel 23 and finishing out 1 Samuel 23. We're going to be talking about David aligning himself in the truth of God, whereas Saul was not doing that. He was aligning himself in lies and just the problems that that is going to cause Saul to fall into. But let's go ahead and read this. I'll be reading out the WEB as I always do. Make sure to grab your cup of coffee or your cup of tea and share it with me this morning as we read 1 Samuel 23, 14 through 29 together. David stayed in the wilderness in the strongholds and remained in the hill country of the wilderness of Ziph. Saul sought him every day, but God didn't deliver him into his hand. David saw that Saul had come out to seek his life. David was in the wilderness as if in the woods. Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the woods and strengthened his hand in God. He said to him, "Don't be afraid, for the hand of Saul, my father, won't find you, and you will be king over Israel, and I will be next to you, and Saul, my father, knows that also." They both made a covenant before Yahweh. Then David stayed in the woods, and Jonathan went to his house. Then the Ziphites came up to Saul to Gibeah, saying, "Doesn't David hide himself with us in the strongholds in the woods, in the hill of Hakilah, which is on the south of the desert? Now therefore, O king, come down, according to all the desires of your soul to come down, and our part will be to deliver him up into the king's hand." Saul said, "You are blessed by Yahweh, for you have had compassion on me. Please go make yet more sure, and know and see his place where his haunt is, and who has seen him there. For I have been told that he is very cunning. See, therefore, and take knowledge of all the lurking places where he hides himself, and come again to me with certainty, and I will go with you. It shall happen, if he is in the land, that I will search him out among the thousands of Judah." They arose and went to Ziph before Saul. But David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon, in the Arabah of the south of the desert. Saul and his men went to seek him. When David was told, he went down to the rock and stayed in the wilderness of Maon. When Saul heard that, he pursued David in the wilderness of Maon. Saul went on this side of the mountain, and David and his men went on that side of the mountain. And David hurried to get away for fear of Saul, for Saul and his men surrounded David and his men to take them. But a messenger came to Saul saying, "Hurry and come, for the Philistines have made a raid on the land." So Saul returned from pursuing David and went against the Philistines. Therefore, they called that place Selah Hamalekoth. David went up from there and lived in the strongholds of En-Gedi. Okay, so as you guys recall, Saul is basically gone off the deep end. He is interested in nothing else other than pursuing and killing David, because he is so concerned about David taking over the throne that he has decided to go against God's will to try to seek out David. And Saul is not actually doing really any of the jobs that he should be doing as king. Last time we talked about this chapter, David actually had to go save the town of Keilah from the Philistines because Saul wouldn't go out to do it. And so David, as the warrior that he was, the patriotic warrior, he was like, "You know what? I'm going to go do what King Saul is not going to go do." And God gave him success in all of that. But because David was in Keilah, which meant stronghold, Saul heard about it, obviously, and he was like, oh, perfect. I'm going to trap David in this city that has all these walls and gates and bars on it. And David won't be able to get out of that city before I get there. However, David heard about the plan and fled. And so that is what is happening today. So it says that David, in verse 14, stayed in the wilderness in the strongholds and remained in the hill country in the wilderness of Ziph. Now, from my understanding, the wilderness of Ziph was not a nice place to live. Like, it was very difficult to survive there. It was a wilderness, obviously, and David was using that place to flee from Saul, hoping that Saul would not try to find him in the wilderness of Ziph. However, Saul was super motivated to try to find and kill David. So here's what it says. Saul sought him every day, but God didn't deliver him into his hand. So David kept just getting away from Saul over and over and over again. And we know that David was living as a fugitive in Israel for about 15 years. So this could have been years that David is living in the wilderness of Ziph with his small army of men, and Saul is trying to pursue David. We don't know how long this is, but you can imagine that David was not having a very good time here and was probably wondering what God was doing for all of these years of him just having to flee King Saul, especially when David knew that he was going to be the next king. And I can imagine David was probably like, okay, God, when is this going to happen? When am I actually going to be the next king of Israel? So it says that David was in the wilderness as if in the woods, and Jonathan, who happened to be Saul's son, was best friends with David. And Jonathan decides to go and try to find David, and he succeeds. He goes out to find David in the woods and strengthened his hand in God. So that means that Jonathan's visit to David strengthened David. David was struggling probably with a lot of fear, struggling with a lot of questions that he had for God. And Jonathan's coming to David, it says, strengthened David's hand in God. I actually just talked about this on the podcast the other day, but Christians are supposed to be very encouraging to each other. We are supposed to strengthen each other. We are supposed to build each other up. That is actually one of the points of church. When you go to church, it is not just to, you know, sing songs and to listen to preaching, but it's also to strengthen each other, to encourage each other, and for other people to encourage you as well. That is one of the main points of going to church. And that is exactly what Jonathan did here for David. He strengthened David's hand in God. So if David was struggling with all of these questions like, God, where are you? Jonathan helped David out. So Jonathan says to David in verse 17, don't be afraid, for the hand of Saul, my father, won't find you, and you will be king over Israel, and I will be next to you. And Saul, my father, knows that also. Jonathan, first and foremost, was the son of Saul, which meant that Jonathan was next in line to become the king of Israel. And yet Jonathan is coming to David, saying to David, I am not expecting to be the next king. I know that God wants you to be the next king. I believe that wholeheartedly, and I'm going to help you do that. I am going to help you fulfill that role that God has called you to fulfill. And of course, all of this is very encouraging to David for multiple reasons. Obviously, he still has his best friend, Jonathan, on his side. Jonathan has this deep faith in God's plan and God's will that he reiterates to David. So it says they both made a covenant before Yahweh. And then David, of course, stayed in the woods. And then Jonathan went back home. Now, around this time, there were these people who lived in the land called the Ziphites. And they decided to betray David, most likely so that King Saul would give them something, give them recognition, give them who knows what. But they decide to betray David, an innocent man, to King Saul for some sort of recognition. So the Ziphites come to King Saul in Gibeah saying, David hides himself with us in the strongholds in the woods, in the hill of Hakila, which is on the south of the desert. King, come down to all the desires of your soul to come down, and our part will be to deliver him up into your hand. So the Ziphites, for no reason, decide to betray David. They come to King Saul, and they're like, he's hiding right alongside of us, and you know what? We're going to help you capture him. We're going to help you because that is the desire of your soul, O king, and your desires are the most important thing. So they're buttering up King Saul. And Saul says, you are blessed by Yahweh, for you have had compassion on me. This is probably exactly what the Ziphites were looking for. We're looking for some sort of blessing from Saul. And what's so crazy about all of this is that Saul is saying that the Ziphites are blessed by Yahweh, okay? But none of this was within Yahweh's plan, obviously, because of what it says in verse 14. It says, Saul sought David every day, but God didn't deliver him into his hand. So clearly, none of this is blessed by Yahweh, but Saul is so distorted at this point that he actually believes that because the Ziphites came to him, that Yahweh has blessed him. And of course, that is not the truth. Saul has been fighting against God's will since the beginning of him becoming the king. He never wanted to follow God. And still, all of this is culminating to Saul just wanting to murder David, an innocent man, against God's will. And he's just deceiving himself into believing that this is God's will for him. Because he wasn't listening to the truth. He was listening to everything else. We know that Saul was haunted by demonic spirits, as stated in other portions of scripture. He was listening to the lies of those demonic spirits and the lies of his own emotions, rather than listening to what God's will really was. And that is why it is so important for us to listen to truth every single day. To read the Bible every single day, because there are lies everywhere. There are lies all over the world. And Satan is very happy to deceive us. He is very happy to give us lies. He is called the father of lies. And that is why we need to constantly be filling our minds with truth so that we do not get deceived with lies and become like King Saul. So anyway, King Saul is like, you all are blessed by Yahweh. For you have had compassion on me. Go make sure that David is still there, and I will come down and kill him. He says, I have been told that David is very cunning. In verse 22, that is how much Saul is fighting against God's will, actually, is because he believes that David is cunning instead of understanding that God is saving David time and time again. None of this was because David was overly cunning. All of this was because God was on David's side. And honestly, Saul should have recognized that and probably at some level did recognize that. See, therefore, take knowledge of all the places where he is hiding, and I will go with you. It shall happen. If he is in the land, I will search him out among all the thousands of Judah. So it says, the Ziphites arose and went before Saul, but David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon. And I don't know if I'm saying that right, as always. I never know how to pronounce anything. In the Arabah of the south of the desert, Saul and his men went to seek him. When David was told, he went down to the rock and stayed in the wilderness of Maon. When Saul heard that, he pursued David in the wilderness of Maon. So Saul is pursuing David to like the ends of the earth. And it actually says that David, I believe it says that David was scared. Yes, it says in verse 26, David hurried to get away for fear of Saul. So once again, we see David being extremely fearful. And this is when David writes Psalm 54, which I am going to turn there right now. This is out of the WEB, of course. Psalm 54, for the chief musician on a stringed instrument. A contemplation by David when the Ziphites came and said to Saul, isn't David hiding himself among us? It says, "Save me, O God, by your name. Vindicate me in your might. Hear my prayer, God. Listen to the words of my mouth. For strangers have risen up against me. Violent men have sought after my soul. They haven't set God before them. Selah. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the one who sustains my soul. He will repay the evil to my enemies. Destroy them in your truth. With a freewill offering, I will sacrifice to you. I will give thanks to your name, Yahweh, for it is good. For he has delivered me out of all of my troubles. My eye has seen triumph over my enemies." And the reason, of course, David wrote that was because he was feeling extremely fearful over what's happening to him. It's like Saul wouldn't leave David alone. David, throughout all of this, is just trying to live a normal life, just trying to live in peace. And Saul is refusing to allow David to live in peace. And you can imagine how much anger and frustration David is having with all of this, not to mention the fear that he is experiencing. But what is very consistent about David is that every time he is experiencing fear, he aligns himself in truth. I'm sure you guys have heard the old adage that fear is a liar. That's like a nice Christianese saying that's always on, you know, coffee mugs and stuff. But it's kind of true. Fear really is a liar. But typically when we see David becoming very afraid, he doesn't often ruminate in that fear. He instead aligns himself with truth. Hence Psalm 54, where it literally says, verse 5, "He will repay the evil to my enemies, destroy them in your truth. I give thanks to your name, Yahweh, for it is good. He has delivered me out of all my troubles. My eye has seen triumph over my enemies." And once again, that brings me back to my original point where Saul was not living in truth. But David was trying to. David was doing his best to live in truth. And you can see, looking at Saul's life and David's life, which man was more successful in the end. So David writes this psalm. He is afraid of King Saul. And it says that David and his men traveled to the other side of the mountain, and Saul's men were on the other side of the mountain. So they were super close to each other. But what ended up happening was Saul was told that the Philistines, once again, have raided the land. And so Saul stopped his pursuit of David because he had urgent business back home. And God used something so terrible, like the Philistines coming and raiding the land once again, to save David and all of David's men. So Saul returned from pursuing David and went against the Philistines. Therefore, they called that place Selah Hamalakoth, which means rock of parting, which I think could also be translated rock of escape. Once again, David has escaped from Saul miraculously, because it looked like David was just about to be captured. Saul was very, very close to David. Had they just climbed that mountain peak and looked down the other side, there was David and the entire army. But yet, Saul didn't get that far. God was saving David from all of his enemies. All right, faithful listeners, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I hope you enjoyed the YouTube version as well, for those of you who are listening on YouTube. And if you did like the episode, then please rate and share the podcast to all your friends and family members. But faithful listeners, I hope that you have a fantastic rest of your day. I will see you all tomorrow for an episode out of Acts. It is the last episode we are going to be doing in the book of Acts, and we will be moving on to the book of Romans after that. So stay tuned for tomorrow's episode, which airs 6 a.m. or whenever you choose to wake up. Happy listening, and God bless.